If you would, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John in chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 33 through 38. And when you get there, you'll see that this is a scripture that normally we might be reading during Holy Week. Not in a time approaching Thanksgiving, but it's on this scripture that the message that I have is based. It's John chapter 18, 33 through 38. Then Pilate entered the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he said this, he went out again into the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. So there you have it then. What is truth? The question that Pilate asked is one that mankind has been seeking an answer to for centuries. And unfortunately for mankind, answers to that question have been offered by supposed scholars and intellectuals of the world throughout history, many who define truth by their own personal suppositions. Some even deny that truth exists at all. That truth is anything you want it to be. Here's an accounting of this concept which seems to embody the mindset of our current culture. A major corporation was looking for a new marketing director. And after lots of advertising and reviewing many applications, three candidates were selected. These three finalists were a mathematician, a statistician, and a salesman. The first to be invited in for the final interview was the mathematician. And the marketing director asked him a simple question, which was, what is 2 + 2? The mathematician was surprised, thought about it for a bit, wondered if it might be a trick question, and then simply answered, 4. The managing director looked at the board and then thanked the candidate for his time. It was clear he wasn't the candidate that they were looking for. So the statistician was the next in, and the managing director, who also asked him the same question, what is 2 + 2? He paused, thought about it for a bit, and then replied that statistically, it was a number between 3 and 5. The managing director smiled, the board seemed impressed. The candidate was thanked and ushered out. Then the last candidate, the salesman, was invited into the interview, and the managing director asked him the question, what is 2 + 2? And without batting an eyelash, he replied, what do you want it to be? And with this answer, he was promptly hired right on the spot. The world is full of salesmen like this, not just selling cars and insurance, but all of them eager to tell us what we want to hear as to advance themselves or an agenda. But does the world even care about truth anymore? I believe it does. As long as truth is allowed to be stretched, manipulated, twisted, and distorted to serve the will of the world. But you see, the word truth is rooted in a much less flexible definition. The Greek word for truth is aletheia, whose literal meaning is to unhide. This Greek word conveys the idea that truth is always present, always available, and apparent for all to see. Now, Paul had something to say about this in his epistle to the Romans, which we'll be taking a look at a little bit later in this message. The Hebrew word for truth is emeth, which means firmness or consistency. It implies an everlasting condition which can always be relied upon, like taxes. Now, from a pure logic point of view, truth is simply that which corresponds to reality. But here again, we get into trouble when we develop and hold on to imagined and perceived realities that are manufactured in our minds or come out of something known as groupthink in our contemporary culture. These are what I call synthetic realities. They are fabricated, they are concocted, they're convoluted, and they're quite contrary to natural reality, which we can define as God's natural order for his creation. And we all witness these synthetic realities each day, don't we? We see it all around us. A simple trip to the grocery market or turning on the evening news on any given day plainly reveals these synthetic realities. Maybe you find yourselves like me asking myself, how in the world did we ever arrive at this point? But we see these synthetic realities every day manifested in the unethical and immoral tendencies of our present culture. And perhaps the most blatant of these synthetic realities are the current woke and gender identification issues. The fact is, man-made realities have been forever present, and they originated with Satan, the father of lies, with the corruption of Adam and Eve, as presented in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And then Eve partook of the forbidden fruit. And guess what? Mankind has been dying spiritually and physically ever since. Satan, you see, is a very, very, very good salesman. But getting back to our scripture reading this morning, was Pilate simply asking Jesus a rhetorical question? It would seem that as the governor of the Roman province of Judea, Pilate probably had more than his fair share of self-esteem. I'm sure it was likely that he believed that he had all the answers, just like many teenagers. And certainly Pilate had his own idea of what truth was. You see, Pilate was the bottom line. Truth was what Pilate said it was. And it's worth noting that directly after asking Jesus, what is truth, Pilate didn't wait for Jesus to reply. He wasn't interested in an answer. No, Pilate just simply walked out of the room. So this morning, in case you haven't guessed, we're going to talk about truth. And we're going to begin by identifying some things that truth is not. So here we go. Truth is not whatever works. Lies can appear to work, and you may have noticed that politicians rely a lot on that. But lies remain lies and not the truth regardless of their temporary convenience. Truth is not what appears to be coherent and understandable. People can, and they do, manufacture theories and conspiracies based on foundation of falsehoods. But it doesn't make their claims true. Consider, for example, the conspiracy of the Pharisees with the falsehoods they charged Jesus as a perfect example. Consider also the theory of evolution. Truth is not what makes us feel good. Very often, facing the truth about someone or something, or especially facing the truth about ourselves, is actually extremely painful. Truth is not what a majority says is true. 51% of any given group of people can reach a false conclusion. And they often do. Truth is not good intentions. Sometimes deeds which we think are good things to do turn out being harmful. So good intentions can still come out wrong. Truth is especially not knowing how we know something. We receive false information every day, either intentionally or unintentionally, from sources we've come to trust, like our colleges and universities, medical experts, financial advisors, and even our closest friends. And there's also many philosophies and worldviews which challenge the concept of truth. Take the philosophy of relativism as one example. It holds that all truth is flexible, and there's no absolute truth. This idea is largely responsible for the "if it feels good, do it" mentality, which originated back in the 60s. Perhaps this was the mindset of the pagan Greek and Roman populations. It does seem probable that it was part of their philosophy based on what we know about their culture. Paul gives us some insight as to how this philosophy came about in Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 through 25. You can turn there if you want, but I'm going to read it anyway. I think it's no coincidence that in his epistle to the first century Christians living in Rome, in his introduction, Paul is pointing out the unrighteousness in Rome and how it came to be. And I'm going to read it here. It starts like this. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Recalling my earlier mention of the Greek word for truth, aletheia, which again holds the concept that truth is always present, always available, and apparent for all to see. When Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." What Paul is telling the Romans is that the truth concerning the one true God, the creator of all things, was never hidden from them. It was clearly visible. It was always present. It was always available. All they had to do is look at their surroundings, the mountains, the ocean, the sky above them. And most importantly, their very own existence. Continuing in verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations." So what were those imaginations? Well, they were the first century synthetic realities. In verse 22, "Professing to be wise, they became fools." In verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." And in verse 25, "who changed the truth of God into a lie." Mankind, you see, has been making up synthetic realities for a very long time. That's why it seems much easier, somehow, for us to believe a lie than accept the truth. See, it's inherently more convenient for us. Knowing the truth and having the understanding of the correct way to get to truth is a key aspect of our Christian faith. But sometimes when we Christians are asked to define truth, well, we experience a brain lockup. And sometimes it takes a long time for us to reboot our thoughts and search our files. Sometimes we just simply hit Control-Alt-Delete. You see, we're programmed with a corrupt heart by default, a glitch in our operating systems, which makes us want to sidestep the whole matter if we can. And like Pilate, it's easier just to walk out of the room than confront the issue of truth. But as I mentioned, having the understanding of the correct way to get to truth, in other words, where to go to find truth, should be quite obvious. So very simple for we Christians. Because, now listen, where else would truth be? Where else does truth exist? Where else did truth originate other than with God? Our Bible tells this over and over. Here's just a few examples starting in the Old Testament. And I encourage you all to read each of these passages in their full context sometime this week. They're listed on the back page of this morning's program to take home as a reminder. And I know what you're thinking. Oh boy, homework. But, you know, it's always good to, you know, be reading the Word of God, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. So we start out in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. This is where God was speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai. "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth.'" In Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, right and just is He. Psalm 25, verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Isaiah 25. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsel of old are faithfulness and truth. And now in the New Testament, we read about truth in these scriptures. In John chapter 1, verse 17, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, here I'm going to pause for a moment because I want you to pay special attention to this. With John 1:17, with this single line of scripture, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, in these eight words, we see that to which Pilate was blind. Jesus Christ is truth. Pilate, you see, when he asked Jesus, what is truth, was looking into the very eyes of truth. So then, just think of the millions of our brothers and sisters, not just here in our community, but throughout the whole world, that are blind, just like Pilate. Who's going to open their eyes? And especially as it applies to those who may be blind right here in our own community, who's going to open their eyes? Will it be one of us? Will it be you? Will it be this church body? Think about that for a moment. If not us, who's going to do it? Continuing again, still in the book of John, at chapter 17, which is Jesus' prayer of intercession. This is when Jesus, knowing that his ministry on earth was almost complete, says, Father, the hour has come. In verse 17, he prays, speaking about his disciples, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Then from John, once again, notice that there's a lot about truth. John has a lot to say about truth, it seems. In chapter 14, verse 6, and here Jesus is speaking to Thomas. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So you see, our Bible makes it abundantly clear that God is truth. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So in this courtroom of life, how many here among us this morning are willing to be called as witnesses for Christ, to give testimony for his truth? Are we not all called to make ourselves witnesses? The answer is yes, yes, and yes. Jesus calls us all to witness on his behalf. It's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the cure for all of those who have fallen ill with a case of synthetic realityism, which is a word I made up. All these synthetic realities, you see, imagined by mankind, have nothing whatsoever in common with God's truth. They are manifestations of the influence of Satan, the father of lies, who each of us must battle every day. But as God's children, we have an undefeatable ally with us at all times, don't we? His name is Jesus. Remember that he said that he would be with us always, and he is. What a comfort it is to know that we have this blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. And therefore, we know exactly who and what truth is. You see, when we are grounded in Christ, we are also grounded in truth. And then we think of Pilate. Poor blind Pilate. Actually, poor everyone throughout the centuries who failed to or refused to see that which God or which Paul spoke of, going back again to Romans 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, all those with their synthetic realities, professing to be wise, what happened? They became fools. They became fools. And that's our situation in America at present, isn't it? Our culture is up to his ears with people professing to be wise, but instead are fools. And many of these fools seem to end up as leaders, just like Pilate back in the first century. In this respect, it's very clear that nothing has changed. But whatever became of Pilate, you ask? What happened to him? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's no surprise that those not knowing what truth is are prone to bad things happening in their lives. Ancient texts outside the Bible say Pilate committed suicide during the reign of the maniac Roman Emperor Caligula. Rome had no shortage of lunatic emperors, it seems. It must have been something in the water. But Pilate's suicide might suggest and actually serve as a sobering reminder to us all that ignoring truth, that is to say, ignoring God, and going with our own synthetic realities is actually something that's going to result with a bad outcome. But my friends, here we are sitting quite comfortably, perhaps thinking that since we are all Christians here, why we already know that God is truth, so we have nothing to be worried about then, right? Right? Well, if that's what you're thinking, you would be wrong. Lest we forget about Satan, the father of lies. He's always lurking somewhere. Job chapter 2 and verse 2 tells us, "And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro the earth, and from walking up and down upon it." And also, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour." Our greatest adversary, Satan, is always seeking the opportunity, waiting for a moment of weakness, catching us off guard, to plant these synthetic realities in our heads. And we all have plenty of moments of weaknesses, don't we? I know I do. I find myself telling Satan to get lost quite often. And let me tell you, he's never happy about it either. That's too bad. So, what does God want us to do with his truth? That's the next thing. What does God want us to do with his truth? Why is it so important to find a time to read his words of truth in our Bibles every day? and also to gather together each Sunday and at every opportunity to hear the word of God in the fellowship of believers. Romans chapter 10, 17 tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Reading God's word is equally crucial. God wants us to understand his truth, and then for each one of us to remember his great commission, and to share God's truth with our families, and with our friends, with our co-workers, and with anyone that the Holy Spirit might put in our path. Because, and this is important, because if we falter at this, and please give this some thought, we may miss the opportunity to make a difference in someone's eternal destiny. It's not up to us. If we plant the seed, we'll let the Holy Spirit do the rest. But we can't miss the initial opportunity. So to wrap this all up, because by now some of you may be thinking how much longer is Blavel going to carry on about this. In conclusion, I want you to read, or I want to read to you this final scripture to take home this morning, to keep in your minds and in your hearts throughout the coming week and forevermore, actually. Once again, it's from John, and it's in chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, may those who came here this morning to hear your word leave with new faith and understanding of your word. May those seeking answers to questions in their lives find resolutions in your word. For you, Heavenly Father, are truth, and your word is truth. May those who came here this morning to receive now go forth and serve others by boldly sharing your truth to the world we encounter this week and every week henceforth. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.